Welcome to the IFLR podcast. I'm Jamie Ryatt, IFLR's Editor of Awards Research, and today we're talking to Somali Kiyingi, the Director of Legal Services at the African Export-Import Bank, also known as Afrexim Bank. I'll introduce our guest very shortly. However, I'd first like to highlight that Somali's in-house legal department was named as In-House Team of the Year at the second edition of our IFLR Africa Awards. These awards recognize cross-border financial and corporate legal innovation across Africa's vast and diverse markets. Building on IFLR's inaugural Africa Awards in 2020, we added 8 new categories and saw over 400 submissions received in total, shortlisting entities from Lusophone, Francophone, and Anglophone Africa, as well as the Maghreb region. One of these new categories was In-House Team of the Year. In winning the accolade, Afrexim Bank's legal department saw off fierce competition from in-house teams in corporates, banks, and other multilateral financial institutions to take the prize. Afrexim Bank was involved in several innovative and complex projects during the research phase. It is at the epicenter of preeminent and cross-border African deal-making, all of which is facilitated by a commercially aware and technically savvy in-house legal department. Over the course of the awards review period, Afrexim Bank advised on deals spanning a variety of practice areas and jurisdictions across the continent. In that vein, I'd like to now introduce our guest, Somali. Congratulations again on your team's achievement and welcome to the IFLR podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie.
I suppose to begin with, I'd like to get some feedback from you in your own words. Can you tell us a little bit about your now award-winning in-house legal team?
Thanks, Jamie. And it's a pleasure to join you on this podcast. So the African Export-Import Bank, also known as Afrexim Bank, is a multilateral financial institution. And essentially what that means is that we are set up by governments via international treaty, rather than being set up under the laws of any state, which makes the operation of our legal team a little bit different from most. We have 51 African member states, and we actually do work in about 42 of those states. The team is comprised of 10 lawyers. We're all based at the headquarters, which is in Cairo, but we also have branches in Eastern Africa, Uganda, Southern Africa, Zimbabwe, Francophone West Africa in Côte d'Ivoire, Anglophone West Africa in Nigeria, and also Central Africa, which is in Cameroon. Now, in terms of what we tend to focus on, as the bank's name suggests, we're a trade finance bank, but we take a very broad view of our development mandate. So more than just dealing with standard import-export type transactions, a lot of what we do focuses on how to facilitate trade. So as a team, we do a lot of work in the project finance space, for example, roads and power, all of things that contribute to trade. But we also look at private equity. We also do a bit of capital markets. And again, the question that the bank asks itself, and thus we ask ourselves in legal, is that does it facilitate trade? And if it does, that is a transaction that we would work on.
Thank you, Somali, for the overview. It's very much a broad mandate that you have. And I suppose in that vein, I'd like to maybe zone in a little bit. Our awards, for our listeners who aren't aware, covered the period between June 2020 and May 2021. Somali, can you take us through and give us a brief overview of your in-house team's specific projects during this time?
Absolutely. So this was the core, I guess, of COVID times, when pretty much we were in the middle of COVID and trying to work out how to adjust to it. And in terms of what we were doing during that period, probably falls into three categories. The first being really COVID response activities. And so our team was actively involved in structuring transactions to help our clients navigate through the COVID period. And with that, our clients being African sovereigns, African corporates, and also African financial institutions. But even with that, the normal course of business didn't stop. So the team was also very busy doing existing transactions, which were ongoing. And then I think probably the last thing that we were actively involved in was, I think we played a far more active role in risk management in terms of how the institution navigated COVID risk and contributing to the strategic outlook of the institution and how it managed its people.
That's great. And you mentioned both COVID and sort of the normal course of work that you would otherwise be undertaking. Now, two projects that particularly impressed our internal judging panel were the AVAT COVID-19 vaccines deal and the Batebridge Border Post modernization project. Somali, can you explain your team's role on each of these, as well as any other projects that were particular highlights during the year?
Sure, absolutely. With respect to Batebridge, that's a very interesting transaction and really highlights the broad mandate that the bank takes in terms of development. Now, this was a $70 million financing to expand and upgrade a border post between Zimbabwe and South Africa. So Southern Africa's largest, busiest border post. And the reason for this upgrade was that in the past, this is a border post where trucks going across the border sometimes wait up to 5 or 6 days in a queue to try and cross this border. And clearly this is bad for intra-Africa trade. And so the bank stepped in to be the mandated lead arranger for this facility. Our contribution was $70 million. The entire transaction was $200 million. And what made this particularly interesting was that it was a consortium of African banks leading this initiative. And I think the other critical thing is that the impact that this is meant to have on trade within Africa is meant to be extraordinary, simply because these delays will be reduced. I think the other thing that was quite interesting about this transaction was that not only was the border post itself upgraded and modernized, but there was also money allocated to investment into that local community around that border post. And again, this is about financial institutions, not just looking at sort of the bottom line and the balance sheet, but also looking at how to contribute to society as a whole.
Thank you. And that project, just for our listeners who are unaware, actually won the Project Finance Deal of the Year at the IFLR Africa Awards, and really was one of the most interesting project finances that came across my desk, not just in Africa, but in the whole year. Did you want to talk about the AVAT deal and your team's work on that?
Absolutely. So the AVAT deal was an extraordinary deal that we worked on during this period. AVAT stands for the African Vaccine Acquisition Trust. And essentially, the legal team was involved in setting up this vehicle and also helping with structuring the transaction. And so what was the transaction? The transaction essentially came out of what was a period of vaccine nationalism during the course of 2020, where a lot of countries were scrambling to get vaccines and vaccine manufacturers sort of couldn't keep up with demand. And it became very clear that many African countries, particularly the smaller ones, would lose out simply because they weren't making big orders, they didn't have that negotiating power. And so what the African Union did was get together and form a vaccine acquisition task team. And that involved AfriximBank, but also other partners, the African Union Center for Disease Control. It also involved UNECA, the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa. And essentially, these organizations got together and said, well, how do we purchase for the entire continent vaccines so that no African country gets left behind? And it was that question that the AfriximBank legal team, together with our colleagues on the business side, were striving to solve. And so we came up with this trust, and we set it up in Mauritius. And essentially, this trust acts as a centralized negotiating, procurement, and payment vehicle on behalf of African Union member states. And we were actively involved in setting up that structure, as well as actively involved in negotiating with vaccine manufacturers and documenting those transactions. It was a huge deal for the bank and also a huge deal for the continent, in the sense that it's the first time that African countries have together on a collaborative basis entered into a commercial contract which covers the entire contract. The other very interesting thing about this transaction is that not only did we set up AVAT, we also set up another vehicle called the AVAT No-Fault Compensation Scheme. And that essentially provides a no-fault compensation scheme that spans Africa, which will effectively provide compensation for any individual who takes a vaccine that is distributed by AVAT and suffers an adverse event, a serious adverse event. And again, the idea behind this was that governments have been asking their citizens to take this vaccine. The vaccines are said to be safe, but with any medicine, there could be side effects. And this was a way in which we could give citizens comfort that should they suffer any adverse event, that they would be compensated. And again, this was a very interesting project to work on, because from our perspective, not only did we solve a specific problem, sort of this idea of, you know, how do we get more vaccines into arms across the African continent? But we've also set up institutions which will be there for the future. So essentially, this procurement vehicle is now up and running and will be able to deal with the next pandemic when that then happens. And so it's a project that we're very proud of because of the legacy that it also gives the African continent.
Absolutely. And Somali, if I can press you just a little bit on this, and you mentioned how it was really the first example that's occurred of this collaboration within Africa, entering into a contract, a commercial contract, as always, a block of African nations. And do you foresee, or have there been subsequent examples of these legal structures and these institutions really being able to be used for something not maybe in the healthcare space? Is this something that may be proliferated elsewhere? Or is it kind of strictly in the confines of healthcare and vaccines?
Thanks, Jamie. At this stage, it's largely in the area of vaccines, but it's transferable. As I mentioned, it was the first time ever this has happened. And from my perspective, and also I think from the perspective of my colleagues who work on the project, it's the first time we have seen African countries come together in this way. There was a really real unity of purpose among ministers of finance and ministers of health, even heads of state, to make this happen. And in a way, it's an incredible precedent. And I think that the framework that we established, the way we structured the documentation in order to ensure that countries signed up, is something that the continent will be able to use going forward around issues that affect all countries. Issues that come to mind include things in the area of trade, or perhaps things in the area of climate change and the environment, where a coordinated approach would be in the best interests of the continent as a whole.
Sure. And I'm quite curious as to your legal team's sort of role within that. Clearly there were, or I'm assuming there were, lots of kind of political and maybe almost sort of almost human elements to this. As an in-house legal team, obviously you would have had input onto the legal structures and how the documentation played out, but did you have kind of additional roles?
Absolutely. So in a way, because everybody was learning at the same time, I mean, a phrase we would use quite often is that we were building the plane while it was flying, was that not only were involved in, I guess, what you'd normally expect the legal team to be involved in, sort of the structuring, the documentation, the negotiation. We were very involved in facilitating relationships and also acting as a strategic sounding board for our business colleagues and for the principals who were leading the transaction in terms of moving the transaction forward. And so this involved, providing advice on, not just how the transaction would operate, but practically how to get things done within a certain time frame. Practically, what we understood countries could feasibly sign up to. So there was a lot of engagement with our member states, a lot of engagement with our strategic partners, and also obviously a lot of engagement with our internal clients.
Yes, and I think taking a strategic role like you described shows a real amount of trust between your legal function and the senior management of the business. Is that something that's usual when you're doing project work, or was this a particularly involved deal from a strategic perspective from your team?
I would say, generally speaking, as a legal team, we do try and be, I guess, the transaction advisor, not just the lawyers to the deal, but the general advisor to the deal. That is something that we try to do on an ongoing basis. With this transaction, however, I would say that this role was quite amplified. And again, this idea that everybody was learning as they were going along. And in a way, as lawyers, in a situation like that, I guess the way we're taught generally to problem solve in a strategic way really sort of came to the fore in a transaction like this, where there was no blueprint of how to go about doing this. And it was about getting ideas on the table, working through them in order to find a solution. So certainly I think with this particular deal, the strategic input from the legal function was certainly more amplified than tends to ordinarily be the case.
And it also, to me, speaks well to your team's ability to truly understand the cultural nuances and even language barriers just for a transaction involving so many different nation states. That really is something that impressed our judging panel.
Absolutely. We are a multilingual team, and dealing with clients and counterparties from different cultural backgrounds and different linguistic backgrounds is something that we're very conscious of. And I think one thing that this transaction brought to the fore in terms of something that we really had to focus on is also diplomacy. And again, that goes back to our role as a multilateral financial institution and ensuring that we addressed the concerns of all our member states.
Absolutely. And Somali, I suppose we can move on now, and I'd like to ask you to get out your crystal ball a little bit, because as a legal function that serves an organisation that's at the heart of trade finance in Africa, can you give us some insight as to what your team will be working on over the coming months, as well as any predictions that you have about the future of cross-border trade in Africa and what lawyers in this space might expect?
Great, that's a big question. So in terms of what we will be working on as a legal function, really directed by the bank and its strategic plan. And I think before I go into that, one thing that's useful to mention within the Africa space, within the trade space, is that Africa as a continent is the continent that trades the least with itself. So most other continents trade the most with themselves. Africa is different. It trades more with other continents than it does with itself. And that is a focus of the institution as a whole, this idea of promoting intra-Africa trade. And that is something that going forward, we will be focusing on, not just as an institution, but certainly as a legal team. And at the forefront of that is the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, which is now enforced. And the issue now is implementation. how do we get this treaty, which is meant to create a free trade area across the continent covering 1.2 billion people, how do we make it effective? And within the team, we are working on various projects and initiatives to support the African Continental Free Trade Area Secretariat. Some of those initiatives involve things like transit guarantee schemes, the Beat Bridge border post transaction is a good example of things that we expect to see more of in the future. And I think the other thing that I'll also quickly mention, simply because it just happened recently, is the Intra-African Trade Fair. So this is a trade fair that we've actually just completed in Durban, which brought together African businesses, institutions, government officials in one place to explore how the continent can trade more effectively within itself. And that is a project that the legal team has been working on closely. And we will be working on the next edition of that, which will be in 2 years in Abidjan. So this area of intra-Africa trade and developing and supporting projects in that area will certainly be a big focus over the coming period. The other thing that I think will probably be an increasing focus, particularly involving the legal team, will be advice around issues of the environment, around social issues and around governance issues. That is an area where we are increasingly being asked to intervene and advise on, and we certainly see that as something that will be playing a greater role within the institution. And I think that probably at a high level are probably the main themes that I see coming out over the coming months.
Absolutely. And if I can ask you to just go inward a little bit, Somali, and in terms of the kind of composition of the team and the way the team works, do you envisage taking on kind of new work approaches, introducing new technologies or anything like that? I mean, it's evident that you run a tight ship over there, but was there anything that you were looking at inward, or is it really about kind of the external projects and the project work that you'll be undertaking?
So yes, we do run a very tight ship. when I am talking to sort of our counterparts at various institutions, I'm reminded at how small we are. So team of 10, but our balance sheet is about 20 billion, most of those, you know, comprising of loans and projects, which the team assists with, which in a way has almost doubled since I joined the bank 4 years ago. So one of our biggest priorities actually is recruitment. We are certainly in the market for more lawyers, because as the bank continues to grow, the legal team will need to grow to support that. And also to facilitate sort of how we deliver our services. Not only are we looking to increase the size of the team, but we are, like many other institutions, looking at technology to see how we can standardize what we do, see how we can use technology to better communicate to our clients, both internal and external, and really just streamline processes. One thing that we have a challenge with at our institutions is that many of our transactions are incredibly bespoke because of what our clients come to us with. They come to us with problems that they wouldn't go to other financial institutions with. And so a lot of the times we are creating things from scratch. A good case is the vaccine project, but we are actively looking to see how technology can help us with our day-to-day work.
Okay, Somali, well, this to me has all been fascinating. Was there anything else that you'd maybe like to say, or that you feel we haven't covered about either your team's work over the last year or your team in general?
I think my only parting comment would be that I think for many legal teams and my legal team in particular, This COVID period has been incredibly challenging, not just in terms of the increased workload or the type of work that needs to be done, but also the changing work environment and not being in an office together to brainstorm and do things like that. And so really just wanting to sort of commend the team again for getting through this period, which was quite a difficult one. And thank you to IFLR for recognizing the achievements of the team during this period.
Well, you're more than welcome, Somali. Thank you for both your time and your insights that you've shared with me on this podcast. I think it's been a fascinating discussion, and I really hope that you and our listeners feel the same way. Now, congratulations once again on your in-house Team of the Year award. It was fully deserved. I just wish you all the best, and I hope we're in touch again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks, Somali.